Somebody need my seat, just put a stuff out there with Brother Dart now. Let somebody sit down. Thank God that we're able to come together again and be blessed. But we never know what day this privilege won't be afforded unto us. But while we have it, let's enjoy it. Amen. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 143. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're ever grateful and thankful, Lord, for these opportunities that we have to come together to worship. Father, we see your promised word being fulfilled. Lord, let us walk within all that you have given unto us, Father, that we be caught up not in the things of the world, Lord, but we be one with you. Father, let us love each and every one. Lord, let us love those that love us. Let us love those that hate us. Father, for you are more merciful kind. You suffered and died upon Calvary, Lord, for all. For you said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Lord, let us have that same attitude in our lives. And we thank you for all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications in thy faithfulness. Answer me and in thy righteousness.
And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man
For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has smitten my life down to the ground. He has made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead.
Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me, and my heart within me is desolate.
I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hands.
I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee, as a thirsting land. Selah.
Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fail. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit.
Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I shall walk.
Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me.
Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of the righteous.
Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies, and destroy them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother, what was your name?
Micah.
Micah. Okay, I didn't get to meet you yesterday. We just greet everyone here that's visitors, non-visitors, those who missed the service yesterday. We wish you were here, but I like to use the body of Christ, so I'm going to ask you to come up here and take up the offering this morning. I like to, if you sit on the front bench and a visitor, we're going to use you so you can just pray over it and take up the offering.
Dear Lord God, here's the end from you, Lord.
Yes,
Lord. Partner in mind, you're the ones that can't give, Lord.
Yes, God.
Bless it and multiply it for your will, Lord. Bless the service, bless the hands of and in your will this day, Lord Jesus,
amen. 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 Let's sing that chorus in the key of C in the presence of Jehovah. So wonderful to be in the presence of the Lord. This in His presence, all troubles vanish and all hearts amended. Amen. In the presence class, if they would make their way forward for their special this morning. Let's go ahead and let's sing that chorus, What a Mighty God We Serve, in the key of C, while they get ready. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him, heaven and earth adore Him. What is His name? Oh, Jesus is that God we serve. Oh, Jesus is that God we serve. We serve. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him, heaven and earth adore said, go tell how your candle got lit. Amen. If that's all you can do, just tell somebody about Jesus Christ and how he saved you. Amen. We're going to ask Sister Rebecca if she would come forth now with her special this morning. Sister Rebecca Calhoun. We got two Rebeccas, I'm sorry, and she has a testimony which she'll give just a little later. But we're blessed to have all the Rebeccas. Amen. Praise the Lord. Like standing on that rock, amen. Sister Rebecca, if you'd like to come forth and give your testimony.
Thank you.
And we just have one service today, so we're just going to take our time and just enjoy the presence of the Lord here and the testimony and the singing. So we'll appreciate it. Come on.
I don't like standing right here. I feel like this for the men. Next time I get the microphone. I just want to give a testimony. And 2 years ago, Memorial Day of 2020, I got here, Memorial Day, and the Lord opened up a way for me to get out of the sin I was living in. And I thought that wasn't going to happen because I was deep gone. I was so far gone, I didn't think God was going to forgive me anymore. I thought that was it because I knew better. And, you know, in the word it says, when God tell you not to sin anymore or a worse thing will come upon you, he means that. And a worse thing did come up on me, the last situation I was in. And I just thought that was it. I was looking up testimonies from different people to see if God actually forgave them when they went so far. But he did open up a way, and I just want to, I thought I was a vessel of dishonor. I was really a vessel of dishonor, and I was thinking when I was deep in my sin that, Lord, I don't want to die being a vessel of dishonor, because you're either going to be a vessel of honor or dishonor when you leave this earth.
Right.
And so I was like, God, please help me. I do not want to die with that title on my name, on my soul, on my life, a vessel of dishonor. So when he got me out of everything, it took a minute. It took a minute for the fear and all these different things that was on me to actually leave the situation I was in. And I felt this was the right time to share this, because it's a lot of young people here, and you guys are going to go through things. Hopefully you don't go through some of the things I went through, but I've been through a lot. But the last situation I was in, I was involved with a very handsome guy, very nice guy, but behind the scene of that was Satan. So Satan will give you things that will be very enticing. Sin is always not going to be ugly. Satan knows what you like. But God also gives permission to Satan to try you, to test you, so you can go through things as well. So he sent this handsome man my way, and it was everything I wanted in the flesh. It was everything I wanted in the flesh. I mean, I had the house, the gifts, the flattering, the cars. Everything looked good on the outside. Everything looked so good. If you was outside looking in, you would want what I thought I had. Okay, but the bottom line was it was a trap. It was a trap for my soul. It was also not only a trap, it was a trap in a way that I couldn't get out unless God took me out of that. In the midst of that, we also have a baby. My baby is still there, and I'm fighting, going through custody battle right now. So I was praying when I was in the midst. We was together for 13 years, on and off. So it was a real... I was very wrapped up in it. Very wrapped up in it. But there was red flags all over the place. It was all type of red flags. I knew I wasn't living right. I knew it. But I couldn't get out of it. For him, he didn't really know it. Because he's living in the world. When you don't have God in your soul or whatever. Just like Adam and Eve. Adam knew when he gave in to Eve. Eve was deceived. So in this situation, I knew I wasn't deceived. I knew what I was doing. But I was miserable. I was so miserable that... Oh Lord, you know, you got to get me out of this because I can't get out of it on my own. I couldn't. Anyway, he made a way. Long story short, he made a way out. I'm going to hurry up. I just want to share some of the things that I've been going through that God delivered me from. Okay, so this was a situation. I do cleaning, so I got to go to customers' houses. Okay, so it's this guy that I work for, not anymore. But he was coming in with a lot of flattery, okay, a lot of things. I've dealt with a lot of things in my life. So this man was coming in with a lot of flattery. This just happened probably a week ago. He came in with a lot of flattery, giving me stuff, very nice. I went to his baptism. He got baptized and everything. I wasn't attracted to him at all, not like that, because I know what God just got me out of, so I wasn't looking for that at all. But he was really nice. He invited me to his baptism. He got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He wasn't a message believer or anything like that. But I went just to support that he was getting baptized. Like, wow, that's good. So anyway, he's a single guy, but he was always really, really nice and really, really offering me things and saying little things like, wow, you look good in my house. And you know, just saying little things, you know. And sometimes you kind of hear it, but you're not paying attention to it. So anyway, the Lord kind of started opening my eyes and making me aware that, you know, be careful. This is the same God told you that was calling me beautiful and stuff, and God changed him, put it on his heart to stop calling me that and using my name. This is the same guy. So the other day, you know, he was saying little stuff, you know, you look really good in my house, you know, and just different little things. So I started just to kind of feel a little bit uncomfortable. So what I did, I left. And, you know, before I left, he was like, you know, I'll take you, you know, if you ever want to go out, just let me know. Now, I already corrected him before about asking me out. I'm not there for that. I'm here to do a service and that's it. So this time when he asked me before I left, he was like, you know, if you ever want to go out again, just let me know. So I got in my car, I got home, and I started thinking about it. Like, man, I just told this guy I'm not interested in going out. I'm not, you know, I'm going to have to just let him know a little bit harder now, because I was kind of nice about it at first. One thing I want to add is be careful of flattery. Be careful, because what it'll do, it'll kind of break you down when they're really, really nice. It'll kind of break you down where you almost don't want to be mean to them, or you don't want to stand up because they're so nice, you know. So be careful of flattery, and when they're kind of giving you too much, you know, giving you too much attention, or, you know, unnecessary attention and stuff like that. I think that's a trap. Be careful, unless that's your husband and you courting, and, you know, it's different. It's a different level. So anyway, I called him up. I'm gonna hurry up. Sorry, I called him up and I left him a message this time, and I said, look, I told you before, I won't be asking you out. I don't need you to ask me out. I am not interested. I don't even date customers because it's sloppy. And just some things I said to him, and I said, I mentioned this to you before, and I feel disrespected, and I won't be coming back if you can't respect where I'm coming from. All right, so anyway, he sent me another message back and apologizing. Oh, I just want to be friends, and I won't do that anymore. So anyway, what happened with that is the Lord just put it on my heart, like, you know, don't even go back at all, because this will happen again, because this guy's living in darkness. To them, it's kind of crazy that you're even coming off like that, because he's just a man, you know, but the spirit behind that, they don't understand, why are you being like that? I'm being nice to you. I'm offering you stuff. Well, you know, what's wrong with you? In other words, you're kind of crazy to them, you know, when you come off like that in a way. So I was like, no, this is dangerous. And the stuff I just came out of, I know to be way more careful to not just give in to that kind of flattery. I'm no match for Satan, and I don't know what he got up his sleeve, but I know enough to know from my experience to be careful of that. So that was that situation that happened. One more thing is, I just want to add, while you guys are on your walk or whatever, you're going to get tested sometimes in different ways when you're not expecting it. It's going to come out the blue sometime. You're going to get tested. For example, it was a situation. I was at a grocery store, and I picked up some items or whatever, and it was a young guy there, the cashier, and he was ringing out my items, and he wasn't sure how much a certain thing cost, so he was just kind of like, oh, go ahead with it. Don't worry about it. I'm like, oh, here we go. I got to correct this now. Here we go. Okay. So I said, no, I want you to ring that up. He said, well, I'm trying to hook you up. I said, well, are you the manager? He was like, well, no. I said, well, I don't want you to hook me. Hook me up to what? What you trying to hook me up to? So I'm not getting hooked up to no Satan trap. So I said, no, just bring it up for what it is. And he's like, I'm just trying to hook you up. I said, like, I understand, you know, you're young, I understand. I said, before God got a hold of my life, I would have loved your hookup. I would have been asking you, when you coming back to work again so I can get some more hooks up, you know? So, but this time when God starts strengthening you, you start being more aware of little traps and stuff, you know? Don't hook me up to none of your devices, nope. So, he was like, wow, okay, it's kind of like God put the light in you and you start giving them the light on, know what it should be is you should do it this way because you can lose your job and everything, you know? So anyway, God start giving you that strength. You need him. He'll give you that strength you need to keep going, to be bold, to be honest with people instead of flattery. And okay, yeah, sure, yeah. You don't want to be that way. That thing will trap you up. So you want to be able to be bold and honest with people. They appreciate that more than just being a yes, yes, yes person, you know. They appreciate your honesty. It'll save them, you know. So it was like a light bulb came on in his head. He was like, wow, okay, nobody ever confronted me. I mean, okay. So anyway, I gave him $5. I'm going to pay you to do the right thing next time. He was like, for real? I'm like, yeah, for real. So that was one incident. The last incident is this. All these things just happened not too long ago, so I want to share it so I don't forget. I was at my job. I work at a hotel part-time as well. Sometimes they have snacks there and you can get them, but I get them and I pay for them. If I don't have the money right away, I bring the money in the next day. So one of my coworkers, she was there the next day, and I gave her a couple dollars for some of the things I got the day before. She was like, you ain't got to pay for that. You know, you don't have to pay for this stuff. I said, well, is it okay for us to just take it? Or she said, well, everybody else doing it, and I do it. So I was like, well, I don't want to be like everybody else, you know? And right when you correct somebody, you can feel that odd feeling like, okay, all of a sudden you separate from what everybody else is doing. So you got to feel those little odd, funny feelings like, oh, I'm different, I'm set apart, I feel weird all of a sudden. But no, embrace that because it's actually building you up to become more and more stronger for the Lord. You want to stand up, you know what I'm saying? The whole world is full of darkness. So whenever you stand out, be prepared to feel funny when you're correcting what's wrong, okay? All right, that's it. Just a little bit of fun.
Look for that character in Christ in people, because character only comes through victory, and victory of battles and overcoming. Amen. If the brother could pull up the song in the back before, How Great Is Our God, they could pull it up in the back on the screen. We'll sing this before our brother comes this morning. Hallelujah. He's great. There's none like him. Amen. He works in every facet of our life, and testimony was just, you know, kids there were just singing this little lot of mine, Sister Rebecca. That's a wonderful testimony that you're being a witness. And I encourage each of us, wherever you are, don't be afraid to stand up for what God's doing in your life. This world needs that testimony. people need to see God in you. And it's those little day-to-day things that makes that impression on out here in the world that they say something's real in there. She's not like the rest of the world. I see something different. And eventually they'll see Christ. Amen. Let the Lord do that. Amen. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. Oh, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great, how great is our God. Oh, the splendor of a king. Yes, he's clothed in majesty. Rejoice, all the earth rejoice. Yes, he wraps himself in light. Oh, when darkness tries to hide and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. Oh, there's power in that voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. Can you testify for that this morning? Oh, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great, how great is our God.
Our God, sing with me. how great this God is.
How great is our God.
Amen. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Oh, that's good. How great. Oh, why, the world thinks he's a great God. They have their opinion. But we know him. We know how great he is. We know him personally. If you have the new birth today, you have a personal relationship with that man. That God that we talk about. I want to thank everybody for the work that they did yesterday. We had a wonderful time. And we appreciate you coming. Thank you for supporting the youth. And they had a good time yesterday also. And we had a good time. Brother Darrell did a wonderful job. And I know he's going to do another wonderful job today. So as we sing, Open the Eyes of My Heart, we'll have our brother come, Brother Darrell Ward from Johnson City, Tennessee. He's been up there for a long time, and he's been a good friend. We appreciate him. We love him, and we appreciate his ministry more than anything because he can speak to all of us. So God bless you. Let's sing.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Hallelujah. You know, it would be, if we had a desire to see him, but there was no way to do that, how miserable we would be. But the evidence that we can see him is because we have that desire. Amen. If you have a desire to get closer to God, that's the evidence that you can get closer to God, or the desire would never be there. What a wonderful thing it is to be a Christian.
Amen.
What a wonderful thing it is to have light in the midst of darkness. Amen.
Amen.
To know where we come from and to know where we're going.
Amen.
What a privilege we are this morning to be able to gather here in his name.
Amen.
The name above all names.
Amen.
Amen. We just count it an honor to be with you. We certainly enjoyed speaking with the young people yesterday. And I bring you greetings from my pastor, Brother Donnie Reagan, from up home. He wanted to make sure... tell everyone he said hello. And so we just counted an honor to be here, and we trust something to be said to help you and encourage you on with the Lord. For truly, that's why we come, is just to put our shoulder to the wheel with Brother Samuel and Brother Wade, and to press on for the glory of the Lord. And whatever you have need of this morning, I want you to look to him and believe, for he can do all things. And he does all things well. Amen. What a faithful high priest we have. This morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to the book of St. John, chapter 11. We'll start reading at verse 17. And it's just a simple little thought, because really that's the only kind I can bring. But we trust it to be a blessing to you.
Amen.
And that the Lord will just speak to our hearts today. John chapter 11, verse 17. Certainly enjoyed the song service, the testimony, and this little light of mine. That's wonderful just to see the young people. I remember when I was a little fella down home, I got to singing that song and forgot how it went. And I said, I'm going to let my light shine all over Johnson City. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Things what you remember sometimes, you know. John chapter 11, verse 17. Do you love him?
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says this. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Amen. Let us bow our heads. I want to speak to you this morning on a simple thought of go meet Jesus. Heavenly Father, thy word is true. We commit this congregation and ourselves into your hands for your glory in Jesus' name. God bless you, saints. You may be seated this morning. I want to call your attention back to verse 20.
Put your coat on that chair.
Amen. I thought he said, just lay your coat on the floor. He said, no, put it on the chair. Amen. I lost some of my hearing when I was in the military. I was with the airborne artillery up at Fort Bragg and fired the big guns. And so I lost a little bit of my hearing, and the VA gave me some hearing aids. I guess I need to wear them. Amen. But I want to call your attention back to verse 20 where it says this. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Now, brother, sister, I believe this morning that these two sisters represents everyone that is in this building this morning. For the way I see it, we can do one or two things. We can do like Martha when she heard that Jesus was come, she got up and went to meet him. Or we can be like Mary and sat still in the house. You see, you're going to do one or the other. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be in their midst. Now, many people come to church for many different reasons. But I want you to know that when he comes in the power of his resurrection. He sends healing in the form of his word. He comes to pour out the Holy Ghost. He comes to fulfill every promise that he made to the believer. He comes to bring deliverance. He comes to bring healing. He comes to bring forgiveness. He comes to bring joy unspeakable and full of glory. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. And when he comes, we can either get up and go meet him, or we can sit still in the house. But I say to you this morning, let's not sit still. He's here. His word says he's here. Then let us get up and possess what belongs to us. This is our day. This is our hour. This is our time to shine in the light. Amen. The promises of God's word for today, they are for the believer. They belong to us. As Caleb said, give me my mountain. Amen. Give me what God has given me. It belongs to me. Amen. Like that sister that was in the communist country that wasn't allowed to have church. And so a banker, he was a believer also. And so he would bake a certain kind of bread. And the believers knew to ask for this bread. And so the sister went down to the bakery and asked for the bread. And she broke the bread. And inside the open of the bread was the revelation of where the meeting was to take place. And on the way to the meeting, she was met by a communist soldier. And he stuck his rifle with a bayonet right up under her chin. He said, "Where are you going?" She said, "My brother died, and I'm going for the reading of the will." She goes to church, and they sing songs, and they rejoice. Somebody repents. Somebody gets the Holy Ghost. Somebody got saved. Someone spoke in tongues, and a prophecy and interpretation went forth. They had foot washing, and they had communion. And oh my, I like services like that, don't you? And so on the way home, she was singing, "The Holy Ghost is mine, joy is mine, healing is mine, all mine." Amen. And she ran into the same soldier. And he said, "What did your brother leave you?" She said, "Oh, he left me everything." Every redemptive blessing belongs to the believer. Then I say to you this morning, let's not let the devil rob us of none of them. Amen. I say, let's get up and go meet Jesus. You see, Jesus is the answer to every problem you have. You say, "I'm sick." Well, then get up and let's go meet Jesus. "I'm discouraged." Then get up and go meet him. Amen. You see, all Mary knew that death had come to their house. Sorrow and fear had all come to their house. And it's sad to say, but that's all that some people ever see. It's darkness and sadness and depression and negativity. And nothing ever works out right and nobody cares for me. That's all some people ever see. But Martha called a revelation. Hallelujah. Martha called a revelation that caused her to get up and go meet Jesus. You see, in our Bible study this morning, death had struck the home of Mary and Martha. And no doubt they thought, how could this happen to us? Jesus is our friend. He slept in our spare room. He sat at our table. We're message believers. We've left everything to follow him. How could this sorrow come to us? How could the doctor's report be so bad? We're his people. We should never have trials. We should never have trouble. Every day should just be blue skies and smooth sailing. Every day should just be a picnic. Those are nice thoughts. I like a good picnic. But you see, the problem of it is, Jesus never promised us that. Come on, somebody. He never said we wouldn't cry. He never said we wouldn't have sorrow. He never said we wouldn't suffer. He never said we wouldn't get sick. He never said there wouldn't be pandemics. He never promised smooth sailing. He never said there wouldn't be storms. Oh, hallelujah. But he did say, "I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you." Then no matter what I face today, I do not face it alone. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes God allows things to come into our lives, like our sister was testifying of. God will allow things to come into our lives so that he can come to us and show us just how great he is. Amen. You may have a great cancer. You may have a great trial. You may have a great problem. I'm not denying that. I'm just here to tell you this morning, your God's greater. Amen. Listen to me. I'm not taking light of your suffering. We have real tears. We have real pain. Amen. I know what it is when your back hurts so bad and the fire shooting out the end of your toes and you have to pray to even get out of the car to pump gas because you can't hardly get one leg in front of the other because your back is hurting so bad. Real tears, real pain, real problems. Oh, hallelujah. But a real God who's bigger than all my problems, who's bigger than all my fears. Come on, somebody. Our God is bigger than anything that our enemy could ever put upon us. Amen. Hallelujah. Mary and Martha, in this great time of sorrow, in this great time of need, it was their darkest hour. Think of it. Mary and Martha left alone. Their mother was gone. Their father was gone. And now Lazarus was gone. And just them two girls left alone in the world. Their brother was gone. He was the breadwinner. He was their protection. He was the one that was going to make sure their rent was paid. He was the one they leaned on He was the one that promised mom and daddy he'd take care of them. And now he's gone. And there they sat in sackcloth and black veils, weeping and mourning over their brother. It was their darkest hour. But I want you to know that's always when Jesus shows up. Amen. That's just the way he does it. Brother, sister, this may be the darkest hour you've ever faced in your life. And if it is, I've got good news for you this morning. Get ready for your visitation. Hallelujah. It was the darkest hour that the woman with the blood issue had ever seen. 12 years of bleeding, and it would not stop. And the doctor said they couldn't help her. And the prophet said she sold her farm. But in that dark hour, when there was no essential oil, there was no herb that could help her, then Jesus came along. It was the darkest hour Jairus had ever saw his little girl laying dead. Oh my! And the mourners and the wailers in his house. But then Jesus came along. The darkest hour the disciples ever saw, when 10,000 demons swore they would drown them that night. It was their darkest hour that Jesus come walking on the water. Oh my. And it was the darkest hour that Martha and Mary had ever seen. It was that dark hour that Martha got word that Jesus had come. You see, Martha realized the answer to her sorrow, the answer to her darkness, the answer to her fear was Jesus. Amen. I know you think it's CDC, but it ain't. She realized God had a way provided, and Jesus was the answer for everything she was going through. He's the answer then, he's the answer now, and if there is a tomorrow, he will be the answer tomorrow. Jesus is the answer, amen. When she got word that he had come, she got up and went to meet him. It reminds me of blind Bartimaeus, sitting there on the rocks of the walls of Jericho. And he wore a beggar's robe that identified him as a blind beggar. And sitting in the sun, tried to get a few pennies, he got to thinking about his life. You know, sometimes I think it's good if we just slow down and remember. Remember what God has done for you. Remember how he's answered your prayers. Remember that night he came to you and delivered you from alcohol or delivered you from drugs. Oh, hallelujah. Sitting there in the sun, he got to remembering. And he thought, I used to have some doves. What happened to those doves? Oh, I remember. I remember. My little girl got sick. I remember. And the doctor said she was going to die. And I went behind the house. And I lifted up my eyes to Jehovah. I said, Father, my little girl's sick. I need her, Lord. I see the world through her eyes. I hear a bird sing and she tells me what it looks like. I smell the fragrance of a flower and she describes it to me. She tells me the shapes that the clouds make and the blueness of the sky. Don't take her from me, Lord. She's my little girl. If you let her live, I'll give you my doves. And she got well and he went. He said, I gave those doves. It wasn't long after that. And my wife got sick. Perhaps it was a pandemic. Perhaps she got what the girl had. We really don't know. And so he goes out behind the house again. And he lifts up his eyes. He said, Father, my little queen is sick. Don't take her from me, Lord. I need her. She puts my plate exactly the same place every time so I can find it. My cup is always at the same place. She washes my clothes. She cooks for me. I need her, Lord. If you let her live, I'll give you my lamb. You know the prophet, you know the story. The prophet told us in those days the lamb was a sin high animal like they use the dog today. And so he goes down to the temple. And on the way down there he runs into the priest. He said, "Where are you going, Bartimaeus?" He said, "I'm going to the temple to give God my lamb." He said, "You can't do that. You need that lamb." He said, "Here, take this money, go buy you a lamb." He said, "But I never promised God a lamb. I promised God this lamb. And if I keep my promise to God, He will provide a lamb for my eyes." And sitting there on the rocks, he thought, "What made me say that?" Oh, thank God for inspiration that sometimes strikes us and we will say something we don't even realize that we're saying. What made me say that? That God would provide a lamb for my eyes. And sitting there thinking on the ways of this lamb, he begins to hear a noise. And all the commotion and being blind, he said, "Would someone please tell me what's going on?" Some kind soul said, "It's Jesus of Nazareth, the Lamb of God. He's come." And when blind Bartimaeus heard that, the Lamb, the provided way, he began to cry out to Jesus, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And someone said, hey, hold your peace. We don't like none of that shouting around here. If we like what's being said, we just nod our head. And if it's really good, we just raise a hand. Ain't there something every time you make a move towards God, there's always somebody there to stop you, young people. Someone said, "Hey, hold your peace." But the Bible said he cried the louder.
Yes. Amen.
And Jesus stood still. You see, it wasn't his voice that stopped Jesus. There's more than 150 yards away and all the commotion, he would have never heard his voice. It wasn't blind Bartimaeus' voice that stopped Jesus. It was his faith that stopped Jesus. And if his faith can stop Jesus, your faith can stop him this morning. Jesus stood still. And they said, "Be of good cheer." He stopped. And he's calling for you. Now blind Bartimaeus is left with this decision that every one of you is left with this morning. He's left with this decision. Either sit still on this rock or get up and go meet Jesus. He was left with the decision. Jesus had stopped and was calling for him. Now he has to make the next move. So I'm waiting on God. Maybe he's waiting on you. So the Bible says in verse 50 that he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. He got up and went to meet Jesus, casting off that old blind beggar's robe. "I'm not going to need it anymore." Notice, when did he cast off that blind? See, in those days, the beggars wore a different robe that identified what they were. A paralytic or a blindness or leprosy or whatever. They wore a robe that identified their disease. So when you saw the robe, you knew this man was blind by the robe that he wore. But notice, before he ever got to Jesus, he threw off the blind beggar's robe because he said, "I don't need it no more. I've got a lamb. I've got a lamb provided for my eyes." Can you see what he saw? He was blind as blind can be, and yet he sees more than 99% of people sitting on church pews. He saw a lamb provided. Amen. And I say to you this morning, can you rise up and step towards the promised word for your day? Cast off the fear, cast off the asthma, cast off the high blood pressure, cast off the back trouble. "I don't need an arthritis robe. I don't need a depression robe. I don't need a glaucoma robe. Hallelujah. I've got a lamb provided for everything I have need of." God's provided way for us, the prophet said. That was God's provided way, was to go meet Jesus. That's right. You got sorrow in your home? Go meet Jesus. Got sickness in your home? Go meet Jesus. Got COVID in your home? He didn't say that idea. Go meet Jesus. Got heartache in your home? Go meet Jesus. Hallelujah. If you've got a need for anything, go meet Jesus. Go meet him. He's got all the remedy. And then the prophet says, he's got all the remedy, everything there is. And then he says, he ain't got the remedy. He's got the cure. He's got the cure for anything we have need of this morning. Then if that's true, why are so many people sick? Why are so many people depressed? Why are so many people so beaten down they can't even say amen in church? Is the word wrong or are we wrong? Are we living beneath our privilege? Have we let our problems get bigger than our God? Well, glory. You see, if God provided a way for us to go meet Jesus, then there has to be a way for us to do that. God ain't no Indian giver. God ain't going to tell you something that he can't produce. He would have never told us to get up and go meet Jesus through his prophet if there wasn't a way for us to do that. So if God anointed his prophet to tell us, if you've got a need for anything, go meet Jesus, then there has to be a way for us to do that in this day that we're living in. You see, in order to meet him, you've got to know where he's at. If I told you, meet me tomorrow, and I'll buy you the biggest steak in Lula, Georgia, what's the next thing you're going to say? Where at? That is, if you want a steak. You see what I'm saying? So if we've been given instructions to go meet him, you've got to know where he's at. You see, he said, in a little while, the world will see me no more. But you. Who's he talking to? You. But you shall see me. How, Lord? How will I see you? You see, if there's a big biblical question, there's got to be a biblical answer. And Jesus said, the world won't see you no more, but you shall, not could be, not hope so, not maybe, but you shall see me. How? How will I see you? Then he answers it, for I'll be with you even where? In you. For I'll be with you even in you.
Yes.
Then where is he at? He's right here with us. Now. Oh God, open our eyes to let us see. He's here.
Yes.
It's not somewhere, someday, some happy day. No, that day is today. Amen. You say, we want to see Jesus. How many wants to see him?
Amen.
Then you can only see him in the manifestation of his word that is promised in the hour you're living in. You see, if that door opened back there and somebody come up this aisle, dragging a cross, bleeding everywhere, a crown of thorns on his head, women would scream, men would faint, and that wouldn't even be Jesus. I'm sorry. He never promised to come like that in this hour. He's already done that. Come on, somebody. I'm going to preach for an hour, whether you're with me or not. That would not be Jesus, and yet people would rely more on that than the reality of the word that's promised for this hour. You've got to see the word for your day. If you see the word for your day manifested, you have seen Jesus, for he is the word. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Therefore, the only way God could speak this morning would be through my lips, your lips, my hands, your hands, my life, your life. I'm the vine, you are the branch. He doesn't bear fruit anymore. He just purges his church, and the church bears fruit. Then what kind of fruit would it bear? The life that was in him would be in his church, making him the same yesterday, today, and forever. It'll bear the same kind of life that he bore when he was here. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. The vine cannot bear the fruit. It's the branch that bears the fruit as it's energized from the vine. And Christ is our energy. Your lips is His lips when you're energized. Your hands is His hands when you're energized from the life of the vine. Your hands is His hands. I was in Nicaragua a few years ago. Place El Faro. I don't know if Brother Luis was there with us that year or not, but right at the end of the service, we was going to have a prayer line that night, but there was just so many people, I thought we'd be there for hours. And so I said, we'll just have one mass prayer for everybody in the building. So I told the people, just lay hands on one another. And the pulpit was kind of a little bit high. It was elevated off the floor. And so just as I told them, I said, lay hands on one another. We'll just have one mass prayer. And just as I started to bow my head to pray, I looked back and about halfway back on the end was a sister. And something spoke to my heart and said, go lay your hands on her. So I jumped off the platform and started walking back. And when I hadn't started praying, people started peeking, you know, to see why I hadn't started praying. And when I got back to where the sister was, she had her hand up in the air. I just reached up and grabbed a hold of her hand and we began to pray. And when the service was over, the sister said, can I speak to you? And it's through Danny Torres. He helps me when I go down there, he interprets for me. So Brother Danny was interpreting. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, tonight, when you told the people to lay hands on one another to pray, she said, nobody laid hands on me. And she said, I thought, what's wrong with me that nobody would want to pray for me? And she said, I began to cry. And I said, Lord, why won't nobody lay their hand on me? And she said, I no sooner said that than a voice spoke and said, I'll lay my hand on you. And she said, that voice no sooner spoke than you put your hand in my hand. Now, am I Jesus? Of course not. But it was my hand He used to touch her. And it's your hand He'll use to touch your husband, to touch your wife, to touch your brother, to touch your sister, to touch your daughter. Come on, somebody. Your hand is His hand when you're energized. Your lips is His lips when you're energized from the life of the vine. You see, His ministry is in His bride, which is His body. We are His body on the earth today. Question, answers, and seals. The bride will be flesh and bone of Christ. Bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh, spirit of His spirit. Then where is He? He's right here with us now. Oh, brother, I want to see Jesus. Just look beside you. You know, we've been wearing these masks. I hate them, don't you, babe? I hate them. I wore them in surgery for 18 years. I worked in surgery at the VA hospital. Wore their mask ever. Never thought I'd have to wear it to go to the gas station. So I was somewhere preaching and I stopped to get some gas and went in to get me some chips. That's why I look the way I do. Cokes and chips. And I was standing there by the tater chip rack. And this guy comes walking in with a mask on. And he must have been a local. Because when he walked in, the cashier looked over and she said, why, John? You've changed your mask. And when she said that, just something struck my, I about shouted past the Coca-Cola. Because I thought, that's right. That's right. Remember the prophet of God talked about the play where that one guy had three different parts and he would go back change his costume and come out. It was the same guy all the time. He just changed his costume. And don't you see the God that dwelled behind the mask of Jesus? That same God, amen, is dwelling behind the mask of the bride today. He's just changed his mask. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right beside you. He's in your mother. He's in your father. He's in your brother. He's in your sister. Amen. Let's go back to Mary just for a few minutes. Jesus speaking to Martha in 11:23. Jesus said unto her, Martha, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this, Martha? Do you believe this? Amen. And she said unto him, yea, Lord. That's what we need to say. Yea, Lord, I believe. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Verse 28, when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly. I never noticed that till the other day when I was studying this. And it just jumped out. She goes to the house and calls Mary secretly. You see, the message of him being here wasn't to everyone that was in the house. It was only for the one that was chosen to receive it. My God, that ought to make you say amen. The message, well, why is this? There's enough people in Lula, Georgia to pack this house out. But it's not to everybody. It's just to the chosen. Amen. Y'all believe that, don't you? Does not the scripture say, I have chosen you? She goes, Martha goes to Mary, who's sitting in the house in the gloom and in the doom and in the fear and in the tears, sitting there all depressed, sitting there all discouraged, sitting there all tore up, her life upside down. And Martha goes to Mary secretly, saying, the Master is come and he's calling for thee. And the Bible said, as soon as Mary heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. You see, Martha, the church, the woman types the church. Martha comes to Mary packing a message. Not that he's coming, but he's here. And Martha comes to Mary, who's still sitting in the house, and says, Mary, listen to me. I know you're hurting. I know you have sorrow. I know you feel depressed. I know you're nervous. I know you feel like your world is caving in. But Mary, listen to me. Stop crying for just a second. Listen to me. He's here. And when that revelation struck her heart, she rose quickly and went out to meet him. Listen to me, little bride. I know it's a nervous time, an unusual time, a dark time, an evil time, a lawless time, a time of unrest, a time of division where they're trying to divide us. Do not let them divide you. We are one in the Spirit. I say to you, little bride, in this time of darkness and unrest, listen to me. He's here. Amen. God's body uniting as his bride, being one, him and Christ together, as the Spirit working in the flesh of the church like it worked in the flesh of Jesus. The Spirit working in the flesh of the church like it worked in the flesh of Jesus Christ, because it's a part of his body. Twain, one. They are one. Not two, but one. Husband and wife are no longer two but one, and Christ and his body is one. Yes. And the same Spirit that was in Christ is in his bride. Yes. His body that unites them together with all the Word, and God living in there himself manifested. Christ was the mystery of God revealed. All God was, he poured into Christ. And all Christ is, he is poured into his church. God poured himself into Christ. And Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And all Christ is, he's poured into his bride. And the bride is the revelation of where he is in this hour. Amen. Where is he? He is here. That's the same as it is today. Listen to this quote. Listen to this quote. It's the same as it is today. There is so many people today that love the Lord and don't realize. Listen to this quote. Many good people today, they love the Lord and don't realize. You can tell them about it, and yet they can't recognize that he's alive forevermore tonight, and that he is here in this church tonight. Good people sitting on message pews that love the Lord, and yet they fail to recognize that he's here. He is in the midst of us and will be till he comes. in the physical, corporal body. You say, Brother Darrell, what are you saying? I'm simply saying this. He's here, but he is coming. There's a difference between his appearing and his coming. He has appeared in the midst of his people. The Son of Man ministry, hallelujah, continuing in the bride. God manifesting in the flesh, not just of William Branham, but in the flesh of you, Brother Samuel, Brother Wade, these other brothers, these sisters. That was his purpose. That was his desire, that the God above us would be God with us, would be God in us. What is true fellowship? Two fellows in the same ship. Christ in you, the hope of all glory. Think about that. Think about that. He's in the midst of us. And he will be till he comes in a physical, corporal body. You know, I heard Brother Biscoe say one time that Christ will be just as real to you as your faith can declare him to be. Some people see Christ every time they come to church because their faith declares he's here. Some people never see him because they got their eyes on the world. And that's all we ever see. Amen. You'll never see him by intellect. You'll never understand him by intellect. It's not something we learn. It's something we experience. Amen. That's what we need more than anything, from the pulpit to the back door, young and old, from 2 to 80. We need an experience with Christ. This message is not a bunch of do's and don'ts. This message is a life that's lived. Hallelujah! Christ in me! Christ in you! It's still, you see, my brother, my sister, what it is? It's Christ in me helping you. And it's Christ in you helping me. What good is it to have a congregation without a pastor? What good is it to have a pastor without a congregation? We need each other. That's why when we come to the house of God, we should say amen to the word. We should get behind the word. You should get behind your pastor. And when he brings the word, you should say amen. We're in this together. We need each other. Amen. Got heartache in your home? Go meet Jesus. Got a need for anything? Go meet Jesus. Go meet him. He's got all the remedy and everything there is. The prophet said he ain't got the remedy. He's got the cure. And when Mary heard that Jesus had come, notice, when Mary caught the same revelation that Martha caught, it brought the same results. Hallelujah. There's only one Holy Ghost. Huh? Brother Bram didn't get a different version than what you got. We all get the same Holy Ghost by one Spirit. And we all baptized into the body of Christ. Amen. And when she got the word that Jesus had come, when she caught the same revelation, she got up and went to meet him. Listen to me, Mr. Sister. I'm not talking about jumping up and running the aisle. You want to jump up and run the aisle? That's fine. But when you get through running, live it. I'm not talking about just jumping up and shouting, but I'm talking about letting your faith go. Let your faith get up. Believe God for the impossible. Don't you see, my brother, my sister, when you believe God for big things, you're telling God, I believe you're a big God. Does not the Bible say you have not because you ask not? Does not the Bible say seek and you shall find? Ask and you shall receive. Knock, knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. Did not Jesus say you have not because you ask not? And when you do ask, you really don't believe it's going to happen. And therefore you don't get it. Well, Brother Dal, I prayed and I prayed and God just ain't answered my prayer. God don't hear my prayer. That's a lie. The devil's lying to you. The Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, saith the Lord, and I will answer thee. The trouble is, sometimes his no's are just as good as his yeses. Amen. Well, Gloria, I'm going home. I'm going soon. Why sit you in the house, friends? Why sit you here this morning? Why carry your problems back out with you? Why carry your fear of getting COVID back out with you? Why don't you leave it here this morning and take his faith? Faith in Jesus, faith in his word, faith in the power of the Holy Ghost. Can I have just a few more minutes? Listen, Listen to me. I thank God for every miracle that we have on tape. Don't you? I love to sit and listen to those things. I heard Brother Bam say just yesterday, I think it was, that he called a man out that was blind. God opened, I know the man was deaf, and God opened the man's deaf ears, and the man spoke, you know, he began to talk back to Brother Branham, and he got ready to leave the platform, and Brother Branham said, wait a minute, you got a problem in your life. It's cigarettes. And I thought, the grace of God. Wouldn't be no good to tell him that if he couldn't hear it, but God waited till he opened his ears and then told him. I love to hear those things. Don't you? I love to listen to the discernment. You're so-and-so from a certain city. I looked up the other day. Brother Ben called somebody out, told them the house number of their house and the street number and the city. And you know what I did? I Googled it. It's still there. As a matter of fact, it's for sale if you want to buy it. And I thought, that's the grace of God. Called a woman out the other day, said, you live in an apartment, I think it was apartment 215 and a half. Not three quarter, not one quarter, a half. That's God. I love to hear those things. But I'm so thankful that I don't have to go back to 1965 and see what God done. But the same God that done that through the prophet is doing it today through his bride. Amen. He's doing it right now, working through his body on the earth, making St. John 14:12 a reality. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the works I do shall you do also, and greater, more works than this shall you do. More works. Because that day, it was one body doing the works. Now today, it's a many-membered body all around the world. That Christ is manifesting himself, making himself the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm so glad I don't have to go back to 1965 to see what God done. But that same God is doing it today. Amen. If I could just take just a couple of minutes before I close. I know some of you are sleepy, so it's warm and getting sleepy, but I'll try to wake you up. I just want to share with you just a few things that I've seen my Lord do. I had nothing to do with it. I was just there when it happened. But I saw it. I was in Pennsylvania. There's a sister there by the name of Sister Betty who had glaucoma that was so bad that she had to wear sunglasses because the lights inside the building of the church hurt her eyes. And she was going to go see an eye specialist on Monday about the glaucoma. And she was sitting there on a Sunday wearing sunglasses in the church. And that after the service, she came up for prayer. And me and the saints of God prayed for Sister Betty. Sister Betty goes to that eye specialist on Monday. He examines her eyes. You know what he told her? Whoever sent you here needs your eyes examined. Needs their eyes examined. There's nothing wrong with your eyes. Oh my, why? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I was up in Oregon. I was sharing that testimony of what the Lord did for Sister Betty. There's a man sitting in the back with cataracts on both eyes. And he said there, and he told me after church, he said, I just raised my hand and said, God, if you can do that for Sister Betty, you can take care of these cataracts on my eyes. And he testified at the end of the service. He said, I was sitting back there and I said that. And he said, God is my witness. The cataracts fell off of my eyes. Why? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I was in France. I preached a little message the Lord gave me one time on For the Sake of One. And there's a sister sitting right here where this brother sitting, and she's on a cane. Her hair was shorter than mine, had big old earrings and pants. She's a Catholic. Somebody invited her to the meeting. And when the service, at the end of the service, I just felt sorry for her. I thought, poor woman on that cane. So I just went down and she was standing there with her cane like this, and I just laid my hand on top of her hand and I said something like this, Father, this poor woman, no doubt's had a rough life. She probably don't even understand what I'm saying. I said, but God, if you can find favor in your sight, take her off that cane that she don't have to use it no more. And I just went on. She didn't understand a word I said. She spoke French. I spoke English. Somebody asked me one time, said, you know a foreign language? I said, yeah, English, it's foreign to me. We didn't even understand each other. I come back to church the next morning. The sister was back. And she said, I want to testify. A Catholic testifying in a message church. And she said, I got up this morning. Said, I didn't need my cane. And I was there in March of 20, just before the pandemic broke. Excuse me, February. I was in there February of 20, just before the pandemic broke. And that sister, since that time, has repented, been baptized in Jesus' name, received the Holy Ghost. Her hair was way down her back. She was wearing dresses. And the last time I saw her, she was vacuuming the church. I said, sister, every time I see you, you're getting younger and younger. The grace of Almighty God. I was in Russellville, Kentucky. You know where that's at, Brother Wade? I was in Russellville, Kentucky. There's a sister there sitting in the back of the church. And I was preaching, and all of a sudden, she jumped up and started praising God. You know, thoughts go through your mind while you preach. You know, be 90 people standing on their feet shouting. The devil show you the one sleeping. You know, all the time these battles go through your mind. And she jumped up and just got to shout and sat back down. I thought, my Lord, she got happy. And in a few minutes, she got up and went out. I thought, what in the world? You get a blessing like that and then leave church. All this is going through my mind while I was preaching. And then a few minutes, she'd come back and sat down. I thought, wow, that sure is strange. Well, when service was over, she came and she said, can I testify? I turned to the brother. He said, sure. She said, I've not even told my husband. She said, I had a tumor on my breast. She said, I had an appointment to go see a doctor. And she said, while the word was being preached, I just started receiving it. Oh, that's it, friends. You've got to receive it for yourself. She said, I just started receiving it. And I felt a sting go through my body. And I jumped up and started praising God. She said, then I went out and checked myself. And she said, I want to share it with y'all. The tumor is gone. Amen. Oh. I was in Ohio, and a sister came up for prayer who had a tumor hanging off the back of her ear that was the size of an egg. And when she walked, it swung. And she wanted me to pray for her. And when I touched that thing, it made me so sick. I thought I was going to vomit. It just made me sick to even touch it. But this woman's faith was so great. And I thought, this tumor, we're fixing to have church. This tumor's fixing to fall off right here on the floor. We're going to have us some church tonight. So I prayed for her. It wasn't me. It was her faith. Her faith was so great. But I have never been as disappointed in my life as when she turned around and walked off and that tumor was still there. I didn't understand it, brother. But somehow I thought, how could that be? That woman's faith was so great. Brother David Siler, some of you know Brother David Siler, just a bosom buddy of mine. And I was talking to him. I said, David, I don't understand it. Why did that not fall off? He said, I don't know, Brother Darrell. Well, I guess the Lord heard me whining. Because a few days later, Brother Wayne Lawson, some of you know Brother Wayne Lawson, he called me from up there in Ohio and said, Brother Darrell, so there's a sister up there and said, do you know Brother Darrell? He said, yeah, I know Brother Darrell. She said, would you tell him that 2 days after he prayed for me, I was walking through the house and the tumor fell off in the floor. That's my God. That's my God. That's my God. If it don't happen when you think it's going to happen, just be found believing. Oh, isn't he wonderful? Oh, my. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got a call the other day from Brother Yvonne Carrion. I was just up in New York City preaching. And Brother Yvonne called me the other day on the phone. He said, Brother Darrell, I just want to share something with you. He said, there's a brother that was addicted to drugs that was streaming the service. And while the word was going forth, God touched him and delivered him from addiction. Amen. Oh, God. I was in Ohio preaching, and we had a prayer line that night. And this sister came up, you know, this one prayed for. And this sister, I said, sis, do you need something from the Lord? And she said, I just come to testify. She said, I was at home streaming. And said, God healed me. And said, I got in the car and drove down here to tell everybody I was listening to the service. And God heard me, healed me while I was listening. She shared that testimony and then proceeded to shout the church down. That's our God, friends. He's not limited to a building. He can go across time, stands in national ground. Come on, somebody. God can do anything at any time. I was in my backfield working, and I get a call from a brother over in North Carolina. He said, "Brother Dow," I said, "my grandson has an incurable skin disease." Said, "It's awful, Brother Darrell. He's broke out from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. And they say there's nothing they can do for the little fella." He said, "But I want you," said, "would you pray with me and agree that our God can touch him?" I said, "Sure, buddy. Let's just agree together. We'll pray right now." And back there in the field, we just prayed over the phone and him praying and me praying. 3 days later, I was still back in the field working. And my phone rings. I said, "Hello." It was the brother. He goes, "Whoa, Brother Darrell." He said, "My son just called from down here in Georgia, there in Georgia somewhere." He said, "My son just called and said there's not a rash on the boy. He's got no..." He said, "His skin, it's just like a baby skin." Oh. Why? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God that was in Christ is in his body today. Can I share with you just a couple more? Brother Jonas Hildebrandt, Brother Kelly Hildebrandt's boy from up there in Canada. We was up there preaching a couple of years ago in February. Man, that's cold country up there. Woo. And this boy had had so many sinus infections that they had so many surgeries that they'd cut the nerves out, clearing out his sinuses, and he couldn't smell anything. Anybody had COVID knows that's terrible when you... Man, I had COVID and lost my smell. Oh my, can I tell you something funny? I know pulpit ain't a place to joke, but this is a true story. There's a brother at home, you know, he had the COVID real bad, and I called and checked on him, you know, and he said, "Yeah, brother," I said, "I can't smell or taste anything." And I said, "Well, we'll be praying for you, buddy." Well, a few days later, I called back to check on him again, and his wife answered the phone. I said, "How's so-and-so doing?" She said, "Oh, he's doing pretty good." I said, "I think he's getting a little bit better." And I said, "Well, that's good." I said, "You know, he told me the other day you was doing some of the best cooking you ever done." She said, "He better not say that." I said, "No, he didn't say that." Just couldn't smell or taste it. I'm sorry, but I just come to me. But this brother here, Brother Jonas, that's the way he was. He has those nerves. He couldn't smell anything. So he come through the prayer line. I said, "Brother Jonas, you take his handkerchief, and when God heals you, you call me and let me know." I don't even know where I was at. I was somewhere, and I was in a hotel room about 1:30 in the morning, something like that. My phone goes, bzz, 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 bzz. And I woke up, it was Brother Jonas. He said, "You awake?" "Oh, yeah, I am now." He said, "Can I call you?" I said, "Sure." So he called and said, "Brother Darrell, I don't know where you're at, don't even know what time it is, where you're at." He said, "But I got to tell you, Brother Darrell." He said, "You remember that when you pray?" I said, "Yeah, I remember." He said, "Brother Darrell, I was on the way home from church tonight." I said, "Guess what?" I said, "What?" He said, "I smelled a skunk." I said, "Well, praise God." You see, that's the way our God does it. Our God can touch you so sweetly that even a skunk smells good. And like I told the young people yesterday, of that little girl up in Chivac, Eskimo Village, just about 150 miles below the Arctic Circle. You stand out there, you don't see the horizon, you see the curvature of the earth. It's so far up. Little village of 900 people. She come and she said, "I'm an alcoholic, Brother Darrell. I've tried everything to quit drinking. Been through the 9-step program 3 times. She said, "I just can't quit drinking." I said, "Have you tried Jesus, sis?" I said, "You just lay it right here. Lay that alcohol right here and take up his freedom. Take his freedom and walk all free and love him and serve him." And I began to pray for that young girl and she began to cry out, "I'm free. I'm free." Oh, saints of God. Amen. He has come to make every one of us free. Amen. I was just there in August of last year. She came up to me. She said, "Brother Dow, it's been 2 years and I'm still sober." Amen. You see, when God does something, he does it well. Yeah. I was in Alton, Missouri. Yeah. I was in Alton, Missouri, and a man came up to the altar. He said, "Brother Dow, my son's an alcoholic." I said, "Well, we know the Lord can certainly take care of that." And Sister Kathleen Wilson was sitting on the piano. And Sister Kathleen Wilson said, Lord, if you can heal Brother Harrod's boy of alcohol, I know you can heal my sister TJ, because TJ was an alcoholic. Said, I know you can heal my sister TJ of alcohol. And Sister Kathleen just sitting there playing the piano, only believe. And she said, I was just saying that, Lord, if you can take care of Brother Harrod's boy, I know you can take care of TJ and deliver from that alcohol. And TJ later testified, she said, I got up, opened up the cabinet, got out another bottle of liquor, said something come over me. I broke the seal, poured it down the drain, said, I've not drunk another drop. And I got a Christmas card from TJ about 2 years ago. She said, Brother Darrell, it's been 9 years and I'm still sober. Amen. Amen. You see, brother, sister, the same God who delivered me of drugs, who delivered me of alcohol, the things that I picked up in the army, the same God that delivered me, delivered TJ, delivered Jonah, and that same God can deliver you this morning. He's no respect of persons. He's in the house. You can get up and go meet him, or you can sit still. It's your choice this morning. But I say don't sit still. Let your faith go for whatever you have need of. Got a problem with you, son? Just go meet Jesus. Just go meet Jesus. You got a wayward child? Just give that child to Jesus. When my little girl was laying there dying from that accident, and I stood there at the window and I said, Father, Jessica's hurt more than I can do anything about. I said, but Lord, I give her to you. Whatever you do, if you spare her life, I'll tell everybody what you've done for her. If you take her life, I'll preach as hard as I ever preached. And while I was there that afternoon, the Lord spoke to me and said, your daughter shall live. And she started getting better, and today she does very well. I just thank God for every day I see her. I thank God for her. But a few years after that, I run into Brother Louis Blevins. He's the song leader up at Happy Valley. He had a little Debbie route. And he was at Walmart switching out Debbie cakes. And I run in, he said, come out the truck. I got some cakes for the kids. And I went out there and he was listening to a tape. And Brother Branham was talking about Yosebed and Amram. And he said, because they gave Moses to God, then God gave Moses back to them. And while I was standing there, something just spoke to my heart. And said, because you gave me Jessica, I gave Jessica back to you. And I say to you this morning, give that wayward girl, give that wayward son that's causing you so much trouble, just give them to Jesus. He knows how to get their attention. Got sorrow in your home? Go meet Jesus. Got sickness in your home? Go meet Jesus. Got fear in your home? Go meet Jesus. Whatever you have need of, just get up. Let your faith get up. Say, Lord, I believe you this morning. I give this sickness to you. Do you love him this morning?
Amen.
I wonder, saints of God, as we bow our heads, I wonder if someone here could see what Bartimaeus saw, a lamb provided for your need. I wonder if there'd be someone here this morning that could step out by faith and say, Lord, I receive what you have for me today. I receive it, Lord. God, I've got fear. I've got this nervousness. I've got this oppression. God, I've got this habit. But why don't you do just like that little sister did? Why don't you just lay it at his feet and take his healing, take his joy, take his peace, take his forgiveness and walk out the door? Can you imagine how it was? Can you imagine how it was at Martha and Mary's house when Lazarus was raised from the dead and they gathered around the supper table? Can you imagine the joy? Because Jesus had come. And that same Lord Jesus that come to their house can come to your house this morning. Oh, saints of God, do you love him today? Do you love him today? Oh, thank you, Father God. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are the way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Amen. I need praise, Lord. You are the light. were loose, were free, and they were Sing out, yes, I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, Lord, I lift up my hands. Oh, I lift up.
You were born, you got a purpose.
Mount your wings. Have you ever seen an eagle start off? He takes and stretches out his wings, turns them a little bit, and then he takes off. That's what we did today.
Amen.
Brother Darrell just gave us a little inspiration. Folks, this is why we use the fivefold ministry.
Amen.
And we believe in the full fivefold ministry.
Amen.
Sometimes, you know, you hear one certain person, you hear me or whoever, you know, we're plowing along, but we need somebody to come by and remind you of who you are.
Amen.
And what promises you have that we might forget every once in a while that we have when we come to church. So thank God. Let's give Brother Darrell a big hand. He absolutely poured his heart out to us. And we love him with the love of the Lord. And we thank you all for coming. Sisters, if y'all want to go ahead. Now listen, we're going to eat. But it's just going to be, since there's so many people here, it's just going to be like a little brunch. All right? So there's some sandwiches and soup down there. So don't consider this lunch. This is a snack. Okay? If you want lunch, restaurants are open. But I want you to stay in fellowship, though. And we love you for what you did yesterday, sisters and brothers that came and did the work. All you young folks, the ones that came from a long distance, all the way from the tater country in Idaho. Y'all don't say taters up here, do you? You say potatoes. Okay, that's what I figured. Northern people. So anyway, good to have you with us, though. God bless you. Thank you for coming, and hope to see you again. Lily, good, always good to see you, and always good to see all of you that are here. I hope you got something from God.
Amen.
Amen. Now we'll go eat a natural meal. Amen. We'll go downstairs if y'all want to hang around, or we can sing another song or something. But we don't have another second service today, and I wanted Brother Darrell to have enough time to rest a little bit and then head on home. And we love you. And why can't we see that God's here? Why can't we see that we don't have to go find him? Amen. He's right here. He's flesh. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You know, when you get born again, that's what happens. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. God bless you. Let's sing one more song, and then we'll, like I said, just go downstairs and get you a bowl of soup, and as pieces of sandwiches there, just get one and let everybody get at least something to eat, and we've never not had enough. Amen. I remember one time at a fellowship meeting, we had like 150 people here. And a couple of people went to Brother Down and said, we need to go get something. And he said, no. He said, we'll have enough. God multiplied that food that day because we didn't have enough. But God, he filled it up. And he let everybody eat. So I'm glad you eat spiritually. Now we're going to grab a bite naturally. And we really appreciate you coming. Thank you for your support for the youth. Pray for Brother Darrell on his way home. And as he goes around and ministers around the country, and pray for these ones that are sick and the ones that are not with us. And we will see you Wednesday night. I'll be preaching Wednesday night. And then Sunday afternoon, if Brother Luis, next Sunday afternoon, if he wants to give a mission report, then we'll do that. But I'll let you know before then. So God bless you. Let's sing one more song as they're getting everything ready.
Creation, I'm a brand new man.
A new creation.
minutes and we'll be dismissed. Like I said again, God bless you. Thank you for coming. We appreciate you, your fellowship and friendship. And hope to see you again soon. And let the visitors, we don't have just a few visitors, but let them go first and eat. And then we'll all of us join in. So let's bow our heads. The Heavenly Father, it's wonderful to see a man just pour his heart out. And his life's been a testimony. He didn't have to say a word when he walked up here. But Lord, you said through the foolishness of preaching that you would talk to us. Lord, you spoke to us through that vessel today. Now I pray that you, as the prophet always says, he was tired and weary and numb, he said, for days after a service when you took over. Lord, I pray that you'd bless our brother Darrell, Lord, and give him strength, Lord, for his journey home. Just be with each one that's here, Father. Sanctify the food that will nourish our bodies and that we'll have enough for the people to eat, Father. We pray that you'll just be with the ones that are sick. Touch our ones, Lord, that are in congregation. Father, we pray that you'd just reveal your word to us more than anything. And we know who you are and we know where you are. We just, Lord, we need to pile on the love just a little bit more. Become closer to you, Father. Lord, I believe today we've become closer. Thank you for the services yesterday and today with the youth. Lord, I pray that you would protect them. Lord, put a hedge around them that Satan won't get them at that tender age, Lord, but that you will ask, Lord, and they'll come running to you, as our brother said, Lord. We pray that you just be with them now. Take care of them, the little kids, and all the way up to the adults, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.
I'm a new creation. Thank you.